As we begin this season of Lent, this is the first Sunday of the Lenten season. Lent began on Wednesday, and this video is part of our celebration of the beginning of Lent. I want to invite you to join us with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. O Lord and ruler of the hosts of heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of all their righteous offspring, you made the heavens and the earth with all their vast array. All things quake with fear at your presence. They tremble because of your power. But your merciful promise is beyond all measure. It surpasses all that our minds can fathom. O Lord, you are full of compassion, long-suffering, and abounding in mercy. You hold back your hand. You do not punish as we deserve. In your great goodness, Lord, you have promised forgiveness to sinners, that they may repent of their sin and be saved. And now, O Lord, we bend the knee of our hearts. We make an appeal, sure of your gracious goodness. We have sinned, O Lord, we have sinned, and we know our wickedness only too well. Therefore, we make this prayer to you, forgive us, Lord, forgive us. Do not let us perish in our sin, nor condemn us in the depths of the earth. For you, O Lord, are the God of those who repent, and in us, you will show forth your goodness. As unworthy as we are, our faith leads us to know that you will save us in accordance with your great mercy. And so we praise you without ceasing all the days of our life. For all the powers of heaven sing your praises, and yours is the glory to ages of ages. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. We invite you to please rise for the reading God's word. Matthew is in the New Testament. If you have your Bibles, you open your Bible right close to the three-quarters mark. You're in the New Testament. The first book is the book of Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And it reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. It's my pleasure to invite our next speaker. He's part of our visiting pastor program. He was formerly the senior pastor of Monmouth Community Christian Church. He will be undergoing and undertaking graduate studies in Scotland, I believe. He has three children, and he's going to be with us for a couple of months during the visiting pastor program. It's my pleasure to welcome Pastor C up for today's sermon.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here on this Sunday morning because it's the Daylight Saving Sunday morning. It is very special because we all lost 1 hour of sleep, but it is so good to see God's children coming to God's house to worship Him. And this is related to our identity. Why are we here? Even though we lost 1 hour of sleep, but we still come on time to God's house to worship Him, because we are His children. And it is only natural for us to worship God, who is both our Savior and our King and also our Father. And so today's message is taken from Matthew 5, 13 to 16. It is a very well-known passage. It is related to our identity. When we mentioned about Lent, it is also related to our identity. During the season of Lent, people will do things differently. They will reflect on who they are. They will reflect on whether there are some things that needs to be changed, that needs to be repented. And they reflect on what God has done for us in Christ. And the same thing, every Sunday morning when we come to God's house, we reflect on who we are. And because of who we are, we do things differently according to the identity that we have. When the Apostle Paul, on the road to the Damascus, he encountered the resurrected Lord. And he asked two very good questions. Question one is, who are you, Lord? And question two is, what shall I do, Lord? Q1 and Q2. Those are very good questions. But let us think about that. There should be a Q1.5. And Q1.5 is, who am I, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Who am I, Lord? What shall I do for you, Lord? So who am I, Lord? This is related to our identity. In this age and time, very often we heard about the term identity theft. But if we think about that, there is really nothing called identity theft, because our identity cannot be taken away. What we have can be taken away. What we possess, it can be stolen. But who we are, this is our identity. And our identity can never be stolen by someone else. But what is our identity? If we ask those people who do not believe in God, they would say, we are human beings. We are descendants of monkeys or descendants of apes. This is who we are. This is our identity. We're essentially animals with higher intelligence. This is who we are. But when we look at the Bible, it is different. When we read the New Testament, in this passage, Jesus tells us who we are. We are new covenant believers. We are not even old covenant believers. The main difference between believers in the old covenant and believers in the new covenant is this. In the old covenant, God writes his law on the stone, and God commands us to remember these laws and take these laws into our hearts. But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, God writes the law directly into our hearts. So everything that we do as New Covenant believers, it is doing not out of compulsion, but out of a desire to please him, out of a willingness to live our life for him. So there is no coercion in terms of how we live our life. And this is the main difference between Old Covenant believers and New Covenant believers. And today, as we look at this passage, we will have 10 observations. We can go to the next slide. And so we will... Oh, wow. Actually, I want them to be one by one. I think I made that to be one by one. But it's okay. It's okay. So we'll go through these 10 points, and these are 10 observations. So this is not a 3-point sermon, but a 10-point sermon. But it is okay. It is not that intimidating. So let us observe the truth that Jesus wants to tell us in these very well-known verses. So the first thing that we want to observe is the location of this passage. The location of this passage is after the Beatitudes, and especially after verses 11 to 12. And verses 11 to 12 say this, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So this is right before this passage. It's talking about persecution. And before persecution, it's talking about the Beatitudes. There are 8 blessings for God's children. And so what does it have to do with salt and light? So when we think about this, when we have these 8 blessings, you know, these are who we are in Christ. These 8 blessings described the qualities of God's children. And if we exhibit these 8 qualities, we will be very different from the people who live in the world, because they are not God's children. You know, if they don't know Christ, they are not God's children in the sense of being redeemed by God. They are God's children in the sense they are being created by God, but not in the redeeming sense of being saved by God. And so they don't display these 8 qualities. But as God's children, we display these 8 qualities. And so we will be very different from the world. And because we are very different from the world like their own, They don't like those who are different from them. And so when we live out the Beatitudes, when we exhibit these qualities, you can expect some kind of persecution because we are different. We do things differently. We say things differently. We have a different goals than those who do not know God. And because of these differences, we can expect persecution. And this is the two verses right before this passage. So the world's attitude to God's children is they don't like us. And some of them, they would even persecute us. But what should be our attitude towards them? And our attitude towards them is we still have a role to play in this world. And that role is we are the salt and we are the light. Even though the world persecutes us as God's children, but as God's children, we are not to persecute back. We are not to revenge, but we are a blessing to them. We should be the salt and the light. And this is how we respond to persecution. And so this is the first point. Look at this passage, the location of this passage, talking about persecution. But let's go to the second point. The second point is our identity is salt and light. Jesus does not say, be the salt or be the light. Jesus said, we are the salt. We are the light. Actually, all the Beatitudes, all those eight blessings, they are not commands. They are not commandments. They are not prescriptive. They are descriptive. All those eight blessings, they are not God's commands for us to be merciful or to be mournful or to be meek or to be peacemakers or to be thirsty and hunger for righteousness. Those are not commands. Those are descriptions. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be fulfilled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Those are not commandments. Those are descriptions of God's children. If we are God's children, those descriptions apply to us. And so these are our identity. These are not something that we need to do. It's not, you need to be the light of the world. You need to be the salt of the earth. Because this is our identity. I'll just use a very simple illustration. So we have paper here, right? I cannot tell the paper, hey, be a pen. Be something else. No, this is paper. This is what it is. The same thing is for us. If we are not salt and if we are not light, even if he commands us to be that way, we cannot be that way. Because this is our identity. Our identity is salt and light. This is who we are. And this is paper. This is the quality of the paper. And this is a microphone. These things are who they are. And because of who they are, they etch the way who they are. And the third point, the sequence is very important. Jesus first mentions about salt, and then he mentions about light. This sequence is intentional. Because when we think about salt and we think about light, salt has to do with our inner qualities. When we use salt on food, the salt will dissolve themselves, and then they will make the food taste differently. So the salt is something related to our inner qualities. But the light is something external. In this passage, it says, let your light shine before men, so that when they see your good deeds, they will glorify your Father in heaven. But salt has to do with our inner qualities. And when we look at the Beatitudes, actually, the first six blessings, they are related to our inner qualities. And the last two, they are related to how we act out because of our inner qualities. The first six blessings, and what are those? They are poor in the spirit, it is something inside us. They are people who mourn. Why do you mourn? Something inside us. We see our sins. We see our unworthiness. And so we mourn. We mourn our sins before God. And also, meek. This is an inner quality. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is our inner quality. Blessed are those who are merciful. People who are merciful. And blessed are those who are pure in heart. All these are inner qualities. But the last two are blessed are the peacemakers. You cannot just be a peacemaker when you stay at home. You have to go out into the world and to be a peacemaker between two parties, to reconcile people, try to be a peacemaker between two parties, and then to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And these are interaction with the world. And so the last two has to be related to how we act in this world. And so Jesus first talked about our inner qualities, and that's what it matters. And then, because of what we have inside, then we leave that out on our outside. So first, we need to cultivate our inner qualities, our relationship with God, our Bible reading, our devotion, our prayer, our worship before Him. This is corporate worship, but we should be worshiping God personally on a daily basis, every hour of the day. This is our inner relationship with God. And then we live out our outer life in our family, in our school, in our workplace, in the society. So first, there is the salt, and then there is the light. And the fourth observation is this. Not only does Jesus say we are the salt and the light, but He says we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. We are not the salt in the church and we are not the light in the church. We are the salt of the earth because the earth needs salt. We are not the light in the church because there is enough light in the church. There is enough light in the church, but the world that is in darkness because of sin, the world needs light. And we are the reflection of that light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but he shall find light in me. But we are the light of the world in the sense that we are reflecting Jesus' light. We are light bearers. And so we are the salt of the earth. There is a difference between Eastern religion and Western religion, like Christianity. Yeah, from a human point of view, it is a religion, but it is also a relationship. In the Eastern religions, when you see those temples, oftentimes those temples, they are built on the top of the mountain or in some very remote locations. So that people, when they try to find God, they will go to the temple, they will stay away from the society. They will go to a very remote place or a very high mountain. They will be there living alone, and they pray, and then they read their scriptures. That's its Eastern religions. But for the Western Christianity, if we look at Europe, there are many cities. The church is built right at the center of the city. It is a place where people gather together. It is at the center of the town where people can gather together and worship. Because that's who we are. We are salt of the earth and we are light of the world. When we think about salt, there are two modes of salt. There are the salts that we find in the supermarkets, and there are also the salts that we find in our kitchen. Both of them, they are exactly salt. Chemically, they are exactly the same. But they are also very different in the sense that those salt in the supermarkets, they are not doing anyone any good because they are just sitting there. They are doing nothing. But the salt in our kitchen, they are doing something because we are putting the salt on the food. And that interacts with the food, and it changes the food. The same way, We are the salt of the earth. We need to live our life on this earth. As much as some people would like to make the church their home, but God's will is really for us to come on Sunday morning to have corporate worship so that we worship Him, we learn from His words, and His words will transform our minds. And as we follow His words, it will also transform our life and our hearts. And then we have to go out of the world, go out of the church to be a blessing, to be a blessing to people, because we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. So we need to have interactions. We need to have interactions with the people in this world. So you can do some calculations to see what proportion of your friends, they are Christians, and what proportions of your friends, they are non-Christians. And hopefully, we all have a healthy proportion of friends who are non-Christians, because these are the people God wants us to be a witness to befriend them. Jesus is a friend of sinner. Jesus does not simply stay with the 12 disciples all the time. He took the 12 disciples into different villages, into the world, to do things, to interact with the world, because they are the salt of the earth and they are the light of the world. And then number five, it says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. You are. This you are is plural. It is not a singular you are. So not only are we salt, but we are salt corporately. A single grain of salt can do very little. And you cannot even buy a single grain of salt in Costco or in some other place. You have to buy a can of salt. That's the minimum you need to buy. I don't know how many grains of salt are there in that can of salt. But it is a corporate testimony. It is not just a single testimony. Well, there is a place for personal evangelism. There is a place for your own testimony. But there is also a place for corporate testimony. When a new person comes to church, it's not just one or two of us welcome that person. Every one of us should welcome that person. This is corporate testimony. And a single ray of light can do very little. But Jesus said, you are a city set on a hill. It is a corporate light, not just a single light from somewhere. It's a corporate testimony. When we gather together, when we act, people will see, oh, these people, they are different. They have a corporate testimony. Because here Jesus said, you are, this is plural, you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. And number six, salt and light are highly valuable. In ancient times, and even nowadays, it's very valuable. We just read news a few days ago in the country of Venezuela. We all know that there are many problems in that country, but the latest problem is that they have a national blackout. It's not just a blackout in a certain city, in a certain village. They have a national blackout. The whole country does not have power. And you can see how difficult it is in our days and also in the ancient days. If there is no light, if there is no salt, they really cannot survive. And when we think about salt, there is this term called celery. You know the etymology of celery? This word is related to salt. It is salt money. Because in ancient times, those Roman soldiers, how do they get paid? They get paid not by the currency or by the money. They got paid by salt because it is so valuable. And you use the salt to exchange things, to buy some other things. Yeah, this is part of their salary, salt money. So our English word salary has that origin, salt money. It is very valuable. And in the ancient days, they don't have refrigerators. And so they use salt to preserve food. It's a very important function. If there is no salt, the meat will become bad very quickly. And nowadays, we have fridge, so we don't see this function of the salt. But it is very valuable. And light, very valuable. We all need light so that people can still do things at night. So Jesus said, we are very valuable. Even though the world does not think that way. The world thinks God's children, they are useless. So they persecute God's children. You should not be in this world. You don't belong to this world. You don't have worth. But Jesus said, God's children, we are the salt and we are the light. That means we are very valuable. We are highly primed in the society, in God's eyes. And we have a very important function to be performed in this world because of who we are. This is our identity. Our identity is the salt and the light. And number seven, salt and light, they are also complementary. Salt is hidden. It is invisible. How do you know that it is invisible? Sometimes my wife, she is the master cooker in the kitchen, but I'm her helper. And so sometimes when she is making a soup, and then she will ask me to put some salt into the soup. And how do I know whether the soup has, you know, sometimes I forgot whether I have put any salt into the soup. So I have to taste the soup, because once the salt is in the soup, it disappeared. You cannot see it. So salt is invisible. It is very slow in action. But light is visible. That's the very definition of light. Light is visible. And light is very quick. And light is not hidden. Light is open. And so these two are really complementary. Salt will actually make things better. As salt, we make the world a better place. We slow down the decay of the morality in the society. Salt preserves food, and salt makes the food tasty. Salt changes things, but light does not change things. But light will reveal the nature of things. Light will not make something better, but light will reveal what that something is. So how do we know that I am a clean person? When I see a very clean person, he's very clean and his room is very clean, everything is clean, then I will know that, oh, I'm not that clean, because now I have seen a very clean person. And how do I know that I'm a very polite person? Until I've met someone who is very polite, then I will see, oh, I'm not that polite. And how do I know that I'm knowledgeable? Until I met someone who is really knowledgeable, then I know that I'm not that knowledgeable. So light will reveal who you are, but it won't change you, but it will reveal who you are. For those who work in companies or in other places, very often people, they delight when their boss go to vacation. Because when their boss go to vacation, they will have a longer coffee break. They will have a longer lunch hour. No one is checking on them. They become more easy when their boss is not around. But if there is an employee in that company, even when the boss is still away, he is just as diligent. He still leaves the company at 5 o'clock instead of 4:13, and his coffee break is still just 10 minutes instead of 30 minutes. When you have this kind of employee in the company, it will reveal who you are. So his light will shine on you, on me, to reveal who we are. And this is the function of light. It will not change you, but it will reveal who you are. And we are to live as light in the world, and we are to live as salt in the world. And they are also complementary in the sense that when we talk about being salt, we are talking about changing the world. We are talking about making the society better. We are talking about community service. We have to have an impact on this community. That is salt. But when we talk about light, this is related to the gospel ministry. We are to bring the light to the world. This is related to evangelism. But we need to do both. We are not focusing just on the salt, and we are not focusing just on the light. We need to bring both the gospel to the society, and we also need to live out our life so that the society and the community can be a better place. It's not one or the other. It is both, because we are both salt and the light. And of course, spiritually, who is the light? God is light, and Christ is light, and the Holy Spirit is light. God's word is light, and the gospel is light. And so we are to reflect all those. We are to reflect who God is. We are to reflect God's word, and we are to reflect the gospel. And number 8, Jesus has a warning for the salt. And the warning is this: the salt should not lose its saltiness. Otherwise, there is no use for the salt. Salt is a very stable compound, and there is no way for salt to lose its saltiness. The only way that salt can lose its saltiness is when there are impurities blended in with the salt. And this losing its saltiness, this phrase appears 4 times in the New Testament, and 2 of those times are translated as losing the saltiness. But the other 2 times are translated as becoming fools. So in Romans 1, when the Apostle Paul talks about those people who know God, but they do not worship him and give thanks to him, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Became fools is the same phrase as losing the saltiness. And the second place is 1 Corinthians 1:20. There it says, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Made foolish. This is losing the saltiness. So what does it mean? So there are those Christians who tend to think we need to blend in so that we can preach the gospel in a culturally sensitive and relevant way. I think that's true. We need to do that. But we also need to be careful. We should not blend in to the extent that there is no difference between us and them. There's no difference between Christians and non-Christians. If we do that, then we lose our saltiness, thinking that we can do some good works, but that is really foolish. Jesus said, that is foolish. People are being attracted to us not because we are like them. People are attracted to us because we are different from them. But if we are like them in all the ways, then this is salt losing its saltiness, because there will be impurities in us. The impurities are the impurities coming not from God's kingdom, but from the world. So we are taking on indiscriminately things of the world into the church or into our life. In that way, we'll lose our saltiness. So this is the warning for the salt. And if that's the case, Jesus said, the outcome is they are good for nothing. They will be trampled underground. And this word, trampled underground, all of the occasions that it appears, it is saying that it is something very precious originally, but now it's become useless. Something originally very precious, but now if that loses its saltiness, then it becomes useless. And so this is the warning for the salt. And number 9, there is also a warning for the light. And the warning is twofold. First, as light, it cannot be hidden. And second, as light, it should not be hidden. First, it cannot be hidden because it is a city set on a hill. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Everyone who are going, who are walking, who are doing things at the bottom of the hill, they will see there is something shining on that hill. There is something shining. It cannot be hidden. You can hit a lamp, you know, as in the example that follows, but you cannot, there is no cloth large enough to hit a city. So this is about corporate testimony. So light cannot be hidden. And secondly, light should not be hidden. This is verse 15. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and gives light to all in the house. And so this is talking about testimony inside the house. The first illustration about city in a hill, this is talking about testimony corporately in the society. To the society, we are a city set on a hill. But we should also be a testimony, not only in the society, but also in our own house. We should be a testimony for God, for Jesus, in our own household. We may not be able to testify to everyone in the society, but we should be able to testify to everyone who is in our household. Our parents, our siblings, our children, our relatives, and all those friends who come to visit us. We are that testimony. And so light cannot be hidden, and light should not be hidden. Previously, when Jesus said salt should maintain its saltiness, because that's what salt does. What does a pan do? You know, a pan is used to write things, right? That's the one thing the pan should be doing. But if a pen cannot write, what good is it? The one thing that the microphone does is to receive the voice. But if the microphone cannot receive my voice, or the speaker cannot enlarge, expand, amplify my voice, what good is it? Right? If a computer does not compute, what good is it? If a phone cannot call, you cannot make call with a phone, what good is it? So the main function of the salt is that it needs to have saltiness. And so God here is saying, the main function of Christians, the main function of God's children, we are the salt and we are the light. That's who we are. And if we lose that, then we are useless. It's just like a pen that cannot write. I would throw it away. It's not worthy of anything. So, Number 10 is the sequence. So Jesus first talked about the Beatitudes. There are 8 blessings. And then he talks about our identity. Our identity is we are salt and we are light. And then the third part is the mission. And because of who we are the salt and we are the light. And because of who we are, we have a mission. And what is that mission? That mission is to function as salt and to function as light. We are to function as salt in the society so that everyone will be benefited from us. And we are to function as light so that everyone else will see the light in us and they will glorify our Father in heaven. So this is our identity and mission. In the Gospel of Matthew, we all know the Great Commission. The Great Commission is in chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. We are to go into all the world and make disciples of Jesus, of all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded, and I will be with you till the end of the world. We all know that. This is the Great Commission. But here in verses 13 to 16, this is also a commission. This is a Great Commission before the Great Commission. This is paving the way for the Great Commission. Think about that. When we share the gospel with people, when we make disciples of all nations, but if we don't have a testimony to match that up, this will not only turn people off, this will become a reverse testimony, right? People have already seen how we act in our life, how we spoke, how we respond to different situations, and people see there is no difference between us and them. And then we share the gospel. And then people would think, why do I need that? Because I see no difference between you and me. I enjoy things and you enjoy the same things. I have struggles to go to church. You also have struggle. And we are no different. Why do I need this gospel? So it's very strategic. Before we share the gospel, before we make disciples of all nations, Jesus here, we have a mandate. Very oftentimes, this is called the cultural mandate. We have a function in the society. Well, I will close with an example or with an illustration how we live as salt and light in the world. There are different applications. There are different ways that you can do that. We all fly from time to time, fly to different places. And in some occasions, when you go to a small city, from a major city to a small city, you won't be flying on a big plane, but on a smaller plane. The plane, there are only three rows. On one side of the row, there is only one seat. On the other side of the aisle, there will be two columns of seat. Do you know what I'm talking about? Very small plane. So when you book the airline ticket, which of those columns would you choose? Would you rather to choose the single column or choose the double column? Personally, with my personality, I would like to choose a single column so that I will have all the seat to myself and I don't need to talk to anyone. I can read a book. I can look out the window because I'm a quiet person. But at the same time, I know I'm also a Christian. So I would choose a double seat in the hope that I would talk to the person next to me about the gospel. Oftentimes, I will read a book, and people are very curious what book you are reading. In one occasion, I was reading a book called By Faith, Not by Sight by Richard Garvin, which is a very good book. And then the person next to me asked me, "Hey, what book are you reading? You seem to be very you are reading the book with high concentration." And then I would say, "Oh, this is a book talking about Apostle Paul. Do you know who Apostle Paul is? He's a disciple of Jesus. Do you know his story?" Hey, then that's the opportunity to share the gospel. So even in my own personality, I would like to be quiet, but at the same time, I need to mingle with people. So this is just one example. And you can think of other examples. When you go to a barber to cut your hair, who would you go to? Would you go to one who is a Christian or would you go to one who is a non-Christian? Even though the one who is a non-Christian, the skill might not be as good as the one who is a Christian. But you can think about going to this non-Christian, not because you will get a better haircut, but because you have one more opportunity to share the gospel, to make an impact, to have an interaction, because we are salt and we are light. There are infinite applications as to how we should respond to this passage. And last time when I came here, it was Thanksgiving Sunday morning, and I remember after my message, I need to go back to my previous church to baptize my daughter. something similar today. After this message, I will need to go to the Cantonese worship space, the Logos, to close that service. So just to let you know, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that Jesus, in these short verses, tells us we are salt of the earth and we are light of the world. What a privilege we have that we can carry the good news of Jesus into this world. We are not just salt and light in the church, but in the world. Help us to function as salt and light. This is our mission, and help us to recognize who we are. Who we are cannot be stolen. We are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. We give thanks to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.